speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We are engaged in a series of lessons out of the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings. And while I was away last week, 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson entitled Biblical Love Has No Boundaries. And that came out of the context of Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and following. And this morning, I want us to come out of the context of the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 18, with a lesson that I've entitled Crowd Teasers versus God Pleasers. You know, as New Testament Christians, the Bible identifies to us is that we are to express and to demonstrate our devotion to God on a continual basis. We begin by expressing our devotion to God whenever we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We make a verbal confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But at the same time, while God commissions or commands us to make that that expression at that time, that's not the only time that we ought to express our devotion to God. We ought to always be telling people how much we love God and how much God loves not only us but humanity, and we ought to do all that we can to invite them in to a relationship with God in the same way in which God expects mankind throughout the world to come into Him. Also, though, we are to demonstrate our devotion to God. And the way in which we demonstrate our devotion to God is seen in a number of ways, through all of the areas of service, but then also as we would assemble together with those of like precious faith to worship and to praise our God. As we think with reference to the ways in which we are to show our devotion to God, God also wants us to understand that we are to be very careful in this matter. Why? Because we are not to come across as if we are filled with pride. We are not to come across as if we are seeking to draw attention to ourselves, but rather we are always to come across in a manner that we are hoping to recognize God and to allow God to have the attention and the credit for everything that we are doing. We are not to engage in doing things in a manner that would be strictly to be seen by men. Yes, they are to be seen by men, but yet at the same time, we are to carry ourselves in a humble manner that we are not doing things to be seen or to be heard by mankind. In our lesson this morning, as we think with regard to are we crowd pleasers or God pleasers, in this, Jesus addresses this most important matter by discussing three things. To begin with, He discusses charitable deeds. And then secondly, He discusses the idea of going to God in prayer. And then finally, He closes this section out by talking about fasting for the sake of religious focus. When we think with regard to doing charitable deeds, friends, I contend that Jesus our Lord set forth an example not only for people in that age, but then in like figure for you and me today. As we think with regard to our Lord spent the entirety of His life going about doing good deeds. As you read from the New Testament Scripture, you'll find is that Jesus was always engaging with people, not only to teach them the will of God, but also to show them the love of God. He went about healing the sick, casting out demons, and feeding the hungry. And He did all that He did not to bring glory or honor to Himself, but rather, friends, Jesus always was trying to bring glory and honor to our God. And everything that He did also served as an example for the disciples of that age, but also for an example to you and me today. He commanded that if anyone desires to be first, he will be last and serve others. Therefore, as we read from the context of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1, and following, I contend that these disciples in this context were complying with the will of God. I want us to understand is that Jesus does not say, if you do deeds, but rather He says, when you do deeds. So therefore, it's not that they weren't doing good deeds, but it's the manner by which these individuals were engaging in doing their deeds. You see, Jesus warns them that as they engage in doing deeds, that they were not to do it to be seen by man. They were not to do it to sound a trumpet, to draw attention unto themselves, but rather, the Bible identifies, is that in doing deeds, they were not to be like the hypocrites, because the hypocrites operated in this very fashion as they went about doing deeds. They sounded the trumpet as they were at the synagogue doing their good deeds. And the Lord says, in regard to these individuals, a hypocrite is one who says one thing and then does another. In reality, they're not truly devoted to God, but rather they are about pleasing themselves or about pleasing the crowd. And therefore, Jesus warned them very sternly that this is not the approach that they are to engage in. And that if indeed they would do their deeds in secret, not to be seen by man, but if they would do these things, not allowing the right hand to know what the left hand is doing, that truly God would still see their deeds, and in the end, hence they would be able to receive the reward that God has. How would this apply to you and me today? Friends, you and I, as Christians, are also commanded by God. We are expected each and every day, as we have opportunity, conjoined with our abilities that God gives us, to go about doing deeds. And the Bible identifies to us is that we are to shine as a light to God. And as they see our good deeds, God is to be glorified. Well, how will we be able to accomplish glorifying God through doing good deeds ourselves? Friends, we must make sure that as we are living in this world and doing what God expects us to do to help others, is that we're not going around talking about what it is that we're doing. That we're not trying to get a pat on the back for what we're doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with maybe somebody hearing about secondhand information, or maybe somebody observing, and yet at the same time, we're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, and they give us an attaboy for that. Nothing wrong with that. But we must not engage in going around talking about what we're doing and bragging about the deeds that we're doing, because in reality, we would be no better off than the situation that Jesus identifies here, because He says those who do so, they have their reward. In other words, they will have the praise of man, but at the same time, they will stand condemned by God, and they will miss out on the eternal reward that God has for those who practice humility in their life in the end. But then also, after addressing this, Jesus goes on to speak with reference to praying. In regard to prayer, the Scripture shows us that they had been informed about praying unto our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Prayer is, even not only then, but even today, to be directed to our Heavenly Father. And we pray through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. And during the life of Jesus, Jesus was establishing these fundamental principles early on that are applicable even unto the age of which we are a part of today, the Christian age, the final dispensation of time. They were also told that as they were praying, that they were to put great thought into their prayers. Where do we draw this from? He says that they were not to pray with vain repetition. In other words, praying in a prayer, maybe if you would, that they were comfortable with and that they were just able to recite without any thought or without any feeling to it at all. You see, whenever they were to pray and whenever we are to pray, we are to make sure that as we are praying, is that our heart is in it, as well as that we are praying in compliance to the will of God. And also, I believe that it's important that we pray in a concise manner. I remember years ago, whenever we were going through the school of preaching, Brother James Meadows, on a number of different occasions I've heard him say this, is that as individuals are praying, and he was actually instructing us as preachers to make sure that we understood this above all. He says that whenever you're praying, he says we need to make sure that we're not praying just to be heard of men. We need to make sure that as we're praying, is that we're not praying to be long-winded because we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. But rather, what he encouraged is that we pray in a concise manner. Is that we need to make sure that we're not praying to be heard of men. We're not praying to be long-winded, to be eloquent of speech and things of that nature. But rather that we are praying in a humble manner, and that we're praying in a way that will please and glorify our God. they were commanded also from this context not to be like the hypocrites who said one thing, but yet at the same time they were doing just opposite of what would have been pleasing and acceptable to our God. Then in like figure, they were ordered to approach God in a humble and respectable way. In what way? They are to pray unto our Father which is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be the name of God. As we go before God in prayer, we need to make sure that we understand who it is that we are speaking to. And as we bow in prayer, we need to approach Him in the most respectable way that we possibly can. And according to the Scripture, we must follow according to the Scripture in this way. And in doing so, friends, as a result of that, these individuals were promised by their obedience to God's will in praying is that God would have a reward for them. But He also says that if they're praying to be heard of men, is that they already had their reward. Again, going back to the fact that if they're praying to be heard of men, they're going to receive the fame or the notoriety from the men. And again, that will constitute sin in the sight of our God. I remember several years ago, whenever we were working and living in Pennsylvania, we had gone over to Philadelphia. And we had gone over to see different sites of that day. And Dawn's parents, I believe it was, is who were visiting us at that time. And they were heading over towards the Liberty Bell. And we forgot something. And in that, we had already come several blocks and in that, we needed whatever it was that we'd forgotten. I said, well, I'll go back and get it. And I'm walking back, and I'm going back different streets than what we had followed over. And I came upon this lady who was standing on a street corner. And in standing on a street corner, she was hollering out to the top of her voice, Philadelphia, you're going to hell, and I'm going to pray for you. And she brought her hands together. And I'm standing back just as a spectator. Everybody, several people were standing around watching her. And the cars were slowing down. And she bows her head and she puts her hands out like this and she's praying out, oh God, please forgive Philadelphia. Oh God, I pray that those of Philadelphia would turn to You. And when she finished, I walked up to her. No one else was going up to her. But I went up to her and I said, ma'am, I take it you're a believer in God. And she says, I am. And she says, I said, well, what are you doing out here today? She says, well, I want the city of Philadelphia to wake up. And she says, I'm praying before them. And I said, well, as you're praying before them, I said, all you're doing is really drawing attention to yourself. And I gave her information about another preacher I know in the greater Philadelphia area, in the media area, Brother Russ DiGiorgio. I don't think she ever went and talked to him. As we are praying, God does not want us to stand on the street corners. Because that's what the hypocrites do. They do those things to be seen of men, but rather we are to pray in a very humble manner, taking it before God and realizing that God sees our prayers, hears what it is that we are doing, and therefore He will not only answer our prayers, but friends, if we're doing those things in compliance to His will, He will also then reward us in the end with an eternal life to spend in heaven with Him someday. But then finally, in this context, Jesus addresses the concept of fasting for spiritual focus. Today, we do not fast. We're not commanded to do so. In this, though, there are some principles that I believe certainly would apply. In this, they were fasting to help them focus on God. In the context of the New Testament Scripture, we understand that fasting was done for a number of reasons. They oftentimes would fast whenever they had important decisions to make. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 fit into this category. But also, when we think with regard to fasting, fasting and prayer oftentimes went together. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37 and Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. And again, as they were praying, why were they fasting? To take their eyes off of the world and to redirect their thoughts and their eyes upon God. As Jesus instructs in regard to these people and fasting, they were told not to fast in a way that would flaunt their faith. He says, do not be like the hypocrites. Well, in this context, who or in what way were the hypocrites fasting. He says they disfigure their face that they may appear to be fasting. In other words, they wore this look on their face that would have said to others, I'm going through an ordeal in my life. And I'm fasting, I'm doing away with food, or I'm doing away with something in my life so that I can focus upon God. And somebody might say, well, what's wrong with that? Wouldn't that also serve as a testimony about their devotion to God? Friends, the problem is this. It's not that people saw it and that the one who was fasting was trying to hold it back, but rather is that they saw it because the person was trying to draw attention unto themselves. And therefore, Jesus identifies those who were doing so as that they're no better off than the hypocrites who were saying one thing and yet doing another. And therefore, they are advised that they are to do things and fasting in this context, not being seen by man. He says, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to be fasting. In doing so, they were to realize the dangers of being filled with pride. And if they were to engage in fasting in a way that was to be seen of man, again, these individuals would have their reward. They would be praised by men, but at the same time, they would be condemned by God. But if they would do and show their devotion to God in a way that is pleasing to Him, without allowing people to know that they're fasting for this religious focus or devotion, then they were promised a reward in the end to be with God. How would this apply to us today since we do not fast? Well, to begin with, there wouldn't be anything wrong with fasting. Sometimes we fast when we're trying to lose weight. And in that, some people have asked me, even here, is there anything wrong with somebody fasting for religious focus? I don't necessarily think that it would be wrong, but at the same time, I want to encourage us to understand is that we're not commanded to do so. Another way, though, or other ways that we might take and apply this is that we might pull back from television. Say, I'm not going to watch television for a week or for a month. Let me say this. Maybe our lives would be a lot better off all the way around if we pull away from what Hollywood's trying to put out to us. But in that, somebody might say, well, I'm going to pull away from television, or I'm going to pull away from the radio, or even the internet, Facebook, and things of that nature, because I want to make sure that I am focused on God in the right way, and that I'm not always out here trying to draw attention to myself, and that it's about God, and that it's not about me. And friends, if we're going to do that, pull away from things, so that we can better focus on God, to redirect our minds and our thoughts, we must not flaunt it before men to say, here's what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Because we would be no better off than these individuals or than the hypocrites that Jesus mentions in the context of the Scripture. Are you, in your life, expressing and demonstrating your love for God, your devotion to God? And in doing so, are you doing it to be seen by men, or to be seen and to be heard only by God? If you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, if you've never confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, if you've not submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we want to invite you to come away from sin, to have your sins forgiven in Christ by submitting to Him in baptism. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've turned by the wayside, also, this morning, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you to let you know that you can respond this morning. We will pray with you and for you that you might be able to be restored. If you're subject to this invitation in any way, please come.